by Jeremy Tuck here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash that donate. Send the fundage to keep free speech alive. This is your Tuesday night broadcast where we have the one and the only Dr. Patrick Slattery on the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Patrick, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing, and yourself?
Doing great. Just living the life. We have lots to talk about. The college anti-genocide protests.
Hey, wait a minute. Aren't you going to show for the network?
Of course. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And you can also call in your debit or credit card number to Julie, and she will take your money gladly. It's important that we support free speech because America, which has always been the flagship of free speech, my First Amendment and all that, it's not really, because if you demonstrate against genocide and Israel is and Jews are the genociders, then you get shut down real quick with hard power. Cops putting you down to the ground, knee on the neck type stuff. I mean, some real George Floyd tier stuff going on here. It's very similar, Patrick, isn't it, to how when we read about people in Australia protesting the COVID lockdowns, the hard power that they hit those people with in Australia, that's what this looks like when the cops are coming in on these college students. The same students who, like, as we mentioned so many times, and the point can't be overstated, 4 years ago, these students were going for George Floyd, Summer of Floyd, and BLM, and protests in the name of Floyd were allowed to get violent and burn things down. And it's like, no, we've got to let them protest. But now, not so much when it's against the Jews. Really shows you, I mean, is it the Voltaire quote? Did Voltaire really say that? I don't know who said it, but it's very apt. To learn who rules over you, find out who you can't criticize.
On Ron Unz's most recent podcast or article, he said that it is a quote typically mistakenly ascribed to Voltaire. So I don't know who said it, but it's true.
It is very true, regardless of the source. So, you know, they're doing hard power on the students. Now they're banning apps. This I got from the Stormer. Universities want to ban anonymous apps on campuses to sabotage the cause of protests. So an app is something you get on your phone. It just gives you easier access to certain information. Apparently, there's an app for this Gaza protest in favor of the Palestinians and anti-genocide. From the College Fix, University of North Carolina system plans to ban anonymous social media apps across 16 campuses, arguing that the technology companies have a reckless disregard for students' well-being. Other universities are considering similar bans, prompting concerns from free speech advocates. We don't have free speech. We have speech that's allowed by Jews. I think that's quotable. Again, we don't
have...
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, we don't have free speech in America. We have speech that is allowed by Jews.
Kosher speech.
It is kosher speech. It's kosher certified. You're perfectly allowed to protest the police and the battering of black people that commit crimes. You can protest that. You can protest against stopping immigration. You can protest in favor of immigrants. You can protest
You can speak that way. People who were protesting, you think of like the protests that the National Justice Party type people, well, they got away with some very small protests. I guess they did get away with some small protests, but you know, the bigger protests that were going on sorry to interrupt, but like 5 or 6 years ago, they were like, you didn't even Charlottesville. I mean, yeah. Charlottesville wasn't even so much against Jewish power. The night before the Charlottesville protest, you had the Tiki Torch March, and somebody, when they were saying "You will not replace us," somebody took it upon themselves to change the chant to "Jews will not replace us." That wasn't really planned that way. The Charlottesville was to defend Robert E. Lee's statue. It wasn't really to talk about Jewish power, but it got attacked, and I guess it got attacked because it was going to talk about Jewish power. Have there been any anti-immigrant protests? I don't know.
Not to a large scale, but that's, it's allowed, is what I'm saying.
I guess, yeah.
The First Amendment in America is not really freedom of speech. It's just speech that's allowed by the Jewish-dominated system. So you're allowed to protest in favor of BLM and Antifa. And a lot of these students were doing that. I mean, 4 years ago, maybe a lot of these students were in high school or junior high. But
thank you.
Their predecessors were protesting on college campuses. You can protest if a right-wing figure comes to your campus. You can protest that. But if you go against the right for Jews to genocide Palestinians in Palestine, what Jews consider their promised land, if you go against that, you will be dealt with hard power. With cops and helmets and batons and all the like. Just like when you protested the coronavirus measures, you could be subject to hard power. You can't protest that. So there are things you can protest and there are things that you can't. And this is something you can't. And I hope that these leftists are seeing that. I hope that they're seeing that and that they're, questioning the whole system and the whole narrative.
I think they are seeing it. I think they're seeing it bigly. And one of the things is, for instance, if you were to look at the summer of Floyd, the summer of love, and those protests were. Well, I mean, you could say they were led by blacks, but to a large extent, they were led by Jews. I mean, the BLM itself, how the BLM, was it even really so much of an organization? It was a hashtag, I guess. It was a hashtag. I guess it had become pretty much of an organization. It didn't spring out of the Summer of Love. It sprung out of, I think, Ferguson. I think you had had a Trayvon Martin, which was what 2000, was that 2010 or 2011 or something, and then you had a few of these other hoodlums who died and got killed by the police, sparking riots. You had the Charlie Brown. What was the guy's name? He's such a clown, that Charlie Brown. Something Brown, right? What was it? Michael Brown? Is that his name? Who got killed in Ferguson. And though I think it was the Ferguson riots that sparked the hashtag that then some Jews picked up on as great marketing and turned it into kind of an organization to shake down corporations, to shake down people. It really got going in the Summer of Love, obviously. Where was I going with this? But I remember where I was going with this. That they were ostensibly led by blacks, but really, really led by Jews. These protests, I think who's playing a central role in it. I mean, I've been on some of these college campuses since this started, And immediately after October 7th, you saw the flyers go up, and they were dueling flyers. You saw pro-Israel flyers put up by the Jews, by the Jewish students, and then you saw the pro-Palestinian anti-genocide, anti-genocide flyers go up, and they were put up by the young progressives. But it was Muslim and Arab and Palestinian kids who were playing kind of a central role. It wasn't Jews and blacks. I mean, off campus, there were some adult Jewish groups, like Jewish Voice for Peace. And Jewish Voice for Peace was doing stuff like trying to shut down Grand Central Station in New York or shut down the Golden Gate Bridge. They were doing this stuff, which is actually kind of bad optics stuff. I don't think they were necessarily trying to do it maliciously, but that was just what they were doing. But on campus, I think the people playing really the central roles were Muslims and Arabs and Palestinian kids were playing some central roles. So you had very different leadership, which I think it wasn't astroturfed. I think the leadership was natural and organic, and the kids themselves, I think, were pretty organic, and it's become pretty passionate. And just hours ago, or I guess we're recording this in the evening, so like 12, 13, 15 hours ago, at the University of Chicago, there was an encampment that was raided not by the Chicago police, but by the university police. And the legislation that was passed, well, I guess it was passed in the House of Representatives. I don't think it's been signed into law yet, but it was it's clear what's going to happen, that this legislation allows Jews to make civil rights complaints to the Department of Education. And then if the universities don't shut down the anti-Semitism as defined by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, whose definition of anti-Semitism includes anti-Zionism, applying double standards to Israel, and saying that Jews killed Jesus, if these complaints and civil rights violations, anti-Semitism complaints, are made to the Department of Education, the Department of Education, and the schools don't shut it down, the Department of Education can withhold federal funding from the schools, which the schools rely on to a large extent. So that's what's going on. Is the suppression of students has been outsourced to the university, and it's even the faculties at the university are pretty much on the student side. Even the administrators were largely on the student side, but now they're the money to the universities, which they rely on to a lesser or greater extent, but it's been weaponized. So I kick it back to you, Jeremy.
And we've made comparisons too to, the 1970 Vietnam War protests in Kent State where students were fired upon. I mean, that's kind of where we're headed. Our Jewish dominated system is calling on the government to bring in the National Guard and actually use firepower on these kids. It's very phenomenal. So they're not only choking them of money, but they're also coming in with hard power. How do they think this is going to look and play out? Like, this is another example. I mean, it sort of reminds me of Victoria Nuland and the gang and their rabid support for Ukraine against Russia. There's really no off-ramp here, right? I mean, there's no there's no pulling this back. It's the mask is off. You can't protest Israel or you're going to be, you know, sanctioned and hard powers are going to be brought in against you. So they don't really care that people are noticing. That's kind of a scary thing when Jewish power gets to that point where it doesn't care. It doesn't care about being flagged and recognized. The attitude is kind of like, yeah, isn't it the attitude kind of like, yeah, you can't protest Israel and we don't care what you think about it.
That's the attitude. And I think this is very high risk for them. And I don't think it's going to end well. We'll see. Now, at Washington University, maybe a week or so ago, Jill Stein, the presidential candidate from the Green Party, she got arrested, and good for her. And as you know, Jeremy, some weeks ago, somebody set up a blind date for me and Jill Stein. She stood me up, but it's because I got there late. And why did I get there late?
You were probably fighting crime or something.
No, I was recording with you. Oh. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
But anyway, these things happen. So maybe, I don't know. I've never met her. But you know, speaking of Green Party presidential candidates that I have met, obviously Ralph Nader, but also Cynthia McKinney. And now Jill Stein, for a Green Party candidate, so she's anti-genocide and she's relatively anti-Zionist. So she went to University of Washington University in St. Louis and got herself arrested. Okay, good for her. That's, you know, with Donald Trump going all pro-genocide, you know, the hell with Donald Trump. So I think everybody, if you get called by pollsters, you should say that you support Jill Stein. That's my position. But you compare that to Cynthia McKinney. What did Cynthia McKinney do? You know, she was a candidate in 2008. In 2009, she went on one of these Gaza flotilla boats that was bringing aid from Turkey to Gaza. It got raided by the Israeli Navy, where they shot and killed crew members. They arrested. So Cynthia McKinney wasn't arrested by the, you know, Washington University police. She was arrested by the Israeli military and thrown in an Israeli prison. And, you know, some of her colleagues were shot and killed because she was trying to actually bring aid to Gaza in 2009. You know, Gaza was under siege in 2009. It's been under siege since, 2005? I guess since 2005. So, I mean, that's a lot harder core. But still, Cynthia McKinney's not running for president now, and Jill Stein is. And the reason I'm saying,
and I'm alone, skin, yeah, chill me to the bone.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? a voice of truth in a sea of lies, do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You turned and you ran. Oh, yeah. Wolf lived right from my hands. Yale blew on black. Tears on the
So, I mean, that's a lot harder core. But still, since Tim McKinney's not running for president now, and Jill Stein is, and the reason I'm saying that at least nominally for the time being we should support Jill Stein is Jill Stein has polled very consistently at 1% for months. You know, you've had RFK has... His poll numbers have been anywhere from like 5% to 19%. They fluctuate wildly. Cornel West is like, he always polls a little bit above. Cornel West is like the crazy Afro guy who's always saying, my dear sister, my dear brother. And Jill Stein's always like really consistently at 1%. And if all of a sudden she bumps up to say, you know, 3 or 4%, which isn't that big of a deal, but that would get some attention from these from Trump and from RFK. That even if it was just a small bump up, if she's gone from the lowly 1% and gets up to a few percent, that's gonna catch some attention. Because Trump, when he was saying the whole time for 5 months. 5 or 6 months, this would have never happened if I was president. That was tolerable. But when he's saying that the demonstrations are a disgrace and he's going in that direction and giving Dick Johnson the green light to do this kind of legislation and send aid to Israel and Ukraine, anything useful about Trump? It's, you know, well, it's overshadowed by this. I mean, I supported Trump all these years because Trump was relatively anti-war. And as president, he was. As candidate in 2016 and even 2020, he was. But not now. So he needs to be taught a lesson. And if he doesn't change course, and I don't know what the prospects of him changing course are. He has somebody who can change course and pretend that he never did something in the first place. Cause he has this very particular relationship with reality. But if he doesn't change course and he becomes president like this, and brings in the type of people that he brought into the last administration, then that's not a victory. Unfortunately, like the Biden administration right now, they're clearly better than Trump in terms of Israel and what's going on. But that's only because they fear losing their core supporters in the election. If once the election's done and they don't have to worry about those supporters, they're going to be just as bad as Trump. And for whatever reason, RFK, he went in the wrong direction. You know, so he went in the wrong direction immediately after October 7th, and like within days of October 7th, Dennis Kucinich, the former presidential candidate and former congressman, who was a genuine peace guy, who was his campaign manager, he quit the campaign within days of October 7th, and now he's running for Congress from Cleveland again. So I'm just bringing these things up, and I kick it back to you, Jeremy.
I just wanted to comment on some of these rogue Jewish people in the spotlight, like Jill Stein. They are very rogue. I mean, she's a Jew, born in Chicago, graduated from Harvard College in 73, has a whole lifetime of activism, mostly for children's health. So, I mean, she's sort of an example of one of these Jews that gets high on their own supply. And, you know, they advocate for some of these issues, and they're supported for a while until they're not supported, until now, right? She's kind of gone a little rogue, kind of like that one homosexual Jew is always rogue. What's his name, dude?
Glenn Greenwald.
I mean, you know, ordinarily he would be totally on board with the whole Jewish agenda, but it's almost like these people, you know, take a stand.
Glenn Greenwald's always been pretty particular. Yeah. I mean, he's leftist, but he's always been somebody who would go his own way, regardless. I don't know. He's always been interesting.
Yeah, Greenwald and Stein. I mean, it's like I wouldn't want to hang out with these people, and I would have nothing in common with them. But they just happen to be opposing the genocide and opposing a lot of things that the Jews push. And so, you know, I think that's where we're seeing some value in them. Certainly Jill Stein and I would not agree on anything else other than, you know, her pushback against genocide. So it's kind of like these people are assets.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Memory, your lamplight is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home. Like a summer song, and stay there forever. I try to remember. Come home.
Anything else, other than, you know, her pushback against genocide. So it's kind of like these people are assets. You know, I could hang out with Trump supporters a lot better, but then we would totally disagree on the Palestine thing, and I would have to, you know, like leave the room or something. But all of these people are assets. Trump is even an asset. You know, in the past, he's said and done things that forward the anti-Jewish agenda to a point, but now it's like it's too far gone. Like I'm not voting for Trump. I'm not voting at all this year. There's no one that represents me.
Well, then, okay, you know what I did in the primaries? You know who I voted for in the primaries?
Who's that?
David Duke.
Exactly.
Why not?
Him in.
I wrote in for David Duke. I was thinking, you know, well, who am I going to vote for in the primaries? And I thought, well, Jeffrey Sachs, he's high profile and he's been doing real well. I thought, what? Well, hey, vote for Dr. Duke. It's a good chance. So I did that. And if, maybe I'll do the same in the general election. But if pollsters call me up, and I do get called by pollsters. I don't know if how many of the, you know, whether you or people in the audience do, but I get called by pollsters like every couple of months or so. And I will tell them I support Jill Stein. That's what I'm going to do.
It's a fun troll. You're trolling them.
I don't know. Well, I'm not trolling them, but it's to make a statement. I don't know if I could have hung out with Jill Stein because she stood me up, but like Jill Stein, in the. Like the Green Party had a very, very pro-Palestinian plank for years, and Cynthia McKinney wasn't an exception. And you know, you go back to Ralph Nader, who was the Green Party candidate in '96 and in 2000, and he's very strongly pro-Palestinian, always has been. I remember once when he he would make these speeches at anti-Iraq war rallies. And after 2000, the Democrats hated him so much that he needed, in effect, he needed security details. And he didn't get Secret Service. And so his security detail would just be from his supporters, just get able-bodied men to walk with him. So in this one day, I'd gone to Washington for an anti-war rally and across the street from the White House. And then after the rally, he needed to get up to where his car was, which was about 20 blocks away. And so I wound up walking with him and other people, including his sister. And we walked through Washington, D.C. And I was talking to his sister, but he was maybe 6 feet away. He was within earshot. And his sister was telling me that, yeah, the Zionists have this map. And, you know, this is the greater Israel map from the river to the river. From the Nile River to the Euphrates River. And, you know, and this is his sister. And I, you know, I'm pretty sure that, and I've talked to him a bit too, but this was, I mean, the Greens were very pro-Palestinian. Jill Stein in 2012, when she was their candidate, she actually came under criticism from within the Greens for watering down their platform, or not actually watering down the platform, but by putting out her own position, which sounded fine. It sounded very even-handed between Israel and Gaza, but it actually was a retreat from the very strong pro-Palestinian position that they had to one that seemed even-handed. But, you know, part of it was saying things like, you know, the non-state actors need to be disarmed. Well, Israel's not a non-state actor, and Hamas is a non-state actor. So is that even-handed? It's not really even-handed. So she's really, she represented a watering down, but still, right now, out of the five people who are going to be on the ballot more or less nationwide, I guess there's going to be a libertarian candidate, but it hasn't been decided yet. But out of the five people that are that the polls track, she's the only one who's taken an anti-genocide position. So she is now kind of just the symbol, the electoral symbol of anti-genocide. So that's why I'm bringing her up. You know, she's the Greens have always been pretty pro-gay. I guess now when the illegal immigration stuff started heating up, there was like some sort of internal struggle, and the anti-immigrant people got largely chased out of the party. So there were anti-immigration people in the Greens, but including Ralph Nader, by the way. I don't know, he might not be as anti-immigration as he was, but when he was running for president, he said a country without borders isn't a country. He had an anti-immigration stance. So anyway, there's all that stuff. What else do we got going on?
What do we make of this Hamas accepting a ceasefire deal? Stormer calls it a fake headline. Ben Shapiro tweets, Hamas accepts one thing not offered, stopping military operations permanently, leaving Hamas intact. And the media say that Hamas has accepted a ceasefire, quote unquote. This from Shapiro.
I don't know. Then what did Shapiro say? What's his snarky remark?
Who's that, Shapiro?
Yeah.
I hereby accept Jeff Bezos' offer for a $2 billion annual salary. It's kind of snarky.
Yeah, because Jeff, he wasn't offered a $2 billion annual salary, right? And so the Israelis didn't offer this. I think it's interesting because, yeah, the Israelis did not show up in Cairo. They did not negotiate. They did not offer a ceasefire or anything. In fact, they've been saying that, you know, all they've been calling for is a pause, a pause in the fighting long enough for Hamas to send back the the hostages without them getting shot. Because, you know, several months ago, when Hamas actually released some of the hostages, the Israeli troops shot and killed their own hostages as they were walking across the border. There were two who got shot and killed. I don't know if people are even aware of that. But so they're saying, okay, yeah, we'll have a pause in the fighting long enough for us to get our hostages back, which is, you know, that's a sweet offer. But I think so. And the Daily Stormer is saying, yeah, Ben Shapiro's correct that it wasn't a real offer. But what's significant is that this is being portrayed in the media as, or at least in corners of, I don't know, like the Jewish media, but in the world media, in RT or whatnot, is being, Hamas is being reasonable. Hamas accepted the ceasefire, but the Israelis aren't. And so I think it's a reflection of the international media portraying Israel in the negative light. I don't know how NBC or CNN are gonna. I don't know how. Well, it was the Guardian. Was it the Guardian that was reporting this? Where did the Daily Stormer get this article from?
Well, the Stormer's quoting CNN.
Oh, there's quoting
CNN. CNN is reporting that Israel set the terms of the ceasefire proposal Hamas accepted on Monday remained far from meeting its demands and warned its military operations in Rafah would continue even as it sent negotiators to talk to mediators. It's kind of a headline that basically says, yeah, we tried, but no dice. We're just going to keep on with the military stuff. That's what CNN's reporting. It's painting the picture that Israel was trying to negotiate, but that Hamas is not cooperating, so it's justifying, you know, further military actions in Palestine. And you could expect CNN to portray it like that.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything from CNN. The closest I've seen to mainstream media has been Piers Morgan, the British guy, the fat, I guess he's a boomer, he's a bully, and he gets on guests and he interrupts them, doesn't let them talk, and keeps saying, but you condemn Hamas, right? You do condemn Hamas. Well, I guess he's legally required by the Jewish sponsored Indian occupation government of Britain to do that. Otherwise, otherwise he can be put in prison in Britain. They'll do that. Yeah, you condemn Hamas, but still, it sounds like you're not condemning Hamas. It sounds like you're. Can you say something bad about Vladimir Putin? That's what he was saying to Jeffrey Sachs. Can you say something bad about Vladimir Putin? That's the closest to the mainstream that I've subjected myself to. It's really disgusting.
The people that consume CNN are led to believe that Israel is really trying to do talks with Hamas, but the Hamas is just not delivering. So therefore, more military, more killing of people. Because there's no distinction between women and children and Hamas. It's just they're all the same.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen CNN, but the international media like RT or Al Jazeera or Press TV, or I'm sure the Indian and Chinese networks, they are taking a very different view of this. And if you read RT articles on this, it's Israel doesn't even bother. Israel doesn't bother to go to the negotiations, and basically Washington, I guess William Burns, the CIA guy, is their proxy negotiating for them, and William Burns, he's no white hat, so to speak. But he was a career diplomat at the State Department. He got up to the number two position, and now he's the CIA. But he's somebody who has at least a little bit of view of reality, at least a kind of a grip on reality. And 15 years ago, when he was ambassador to Moscow, which he was, ambassador to Russia, he was saying this business about trying to get Ukraine into NATO. The Russians are never going to accept that. And so he was in an internal memo that has been leaked or published. He was making that position pretty clear 15 years ago. So he's somebody at least has a grip on reality. The thing is, this is a very high stakes gamble by Israel, and you know, you play dangerous games and you win dangerous prizes. Unfortunately, it's going to result in the deaths of many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Palestinians, of these kids who thought that, I don't know if you saw any of this, they thought that the ceasefire had been agreed to. And you saw these kids jumping up and down and the women, and everybody was happy because they thought there was going to be a ceasefire. And then, you know, an hour later, Rafah was being subjected to this massive bombardment. But the world is just sick of Israel. And you do see the diplomacy, which goes on, and it's got a very, it's very slow, but you're seeing this coalition building against Israel, and at the same time, the only reason Israel's been able to get away with everything for decades has been because the United States dominated the international system, and they don't anymore, and they're going to even less as they lose the war in Ukraine. So I think this is going to end badly for Israel. Israel will be lucky to go back to the pre-67 borders. It could be worse than that, but they'll be lucky if all they do is lose the West Bank settlements and have an independent Palestine set up there. That's the way I see it. But it'll take time, and during that time, there'll be a lot of death.
I hate to use the word international community because it's so globalist sounding. I don't like the idea of other nations controlling sort of, you know, what goes on in the globe. But in this context, you talk about the international community being dominated by Russia and China. Bringing Israel to heel is something that I would definitely cheer for.
Yeah. And I said system. I didn't say communitaire. When I say community, I'll say communitaire. But I said international system.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't like the idea of globalism, but on the other hand, like, there has to be some sort of a formal global justice. You know, who's in charge, who decides? That's the question. And to what standards are there? I mean, there are some humanitarian standards that, you know, countries have to meet. And I think in this case, you know, it would be a good thing for Israel to be brought to heel and told to shut up and color. Because like you said, they've been operating on this notion that the West has their back and they can do whatever they want. And they're still sort of doing that without having realized that their golem is no longer powerful. So
yeah,
it's kind of a
sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, it's no way to turn. You wonder how you keep of all the things that really matter, you.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, Fact Bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, She leads the King Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilaji stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Raja Yana, Shilaji is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilaji, like Colorado Shilaji, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilaji is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without having realized that their golem is no longer powerful. So
yeah,
it's kind of
a weird situation. So whether there is a formal institutions that demand this, or whether it's kind of ad hoc alliance, you're seeing a giant shift. And Saudi Arabia is a good example. So Saudi Arabia had been a de facto ally of Israel, and it had been very much tied to the United States. It had been part of an anti-Iranian coalition. But what we've seen over the past year or so, even predating this, you saw China broker a peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. You've seen Saudi Arabia join BRICS, and now you're seeing the United States desperately trying to bribe Saudi Arabia, even offering it nuclear technology, you know, in effect giving it nukes, just stick with us. But you do have to recognize Israel. And there's no way in the middle of this genocide that Saudi Arabia can do that. It's so you're seeing, and this is just one country, but you're seeing this massive shift away from bandwagoning with the United States towards a system not dominated by the United States, which I think is a good thing. If it happens too fast, if things go, the thing is, if things go too fast, you can wind up with World War III, and that's, you know, people can be a lot of people can say, why doesn't Russia just nuke Israel or nuke Kiev or whatever? You know, people are very, very impatient. But the people who run Russia, Putin and Xi Jinping and the people around them are very cautious people, and they don't want World War III. And so they're doing things slowly. And doing things slowly means, you know, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians may die. We've already had hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians die. But what they're trying to avoid is both countries have the World War II experience of tens of millions, not hundreds of thousands, but tens of millions of their own people dying. And this is something that that Americans don't seem to understand, and you know, RBN listeners might not understand, but this is really deeply ingrained in the outlook of the leadership. We've only got a couple minutes left.
Yeah, we were at the end of the show. Thanks, Patrick, for joining me. I know we both work hard, and this is pre-recorded, so you know, you guys tune in tomorrow for Patrick and Jeremy Part 2. We're going to record tonight after this show. But thanks, after Patrick.
I get it over to Julie.
Got to get it to Julie. So thank you, my friend. I hope that you stay classy in all of your travelings.
I'm doing what I can.
All right. Back tomorrow for Patrick and Jeremy Part 2 on the Bugle. 12 Central.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.